wonderful text that gives to us an example, the Lord giving us this example. Many of the things that Jesus did in his ministry, he did not only to meet individual needs, but he also did it as an example for us to follow in his steps. He did those things, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, that we should do like he did. And we've mentioned in a recent service how that Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, was not one that he leaned upon his deity. Certainly he was the Son of God, but he did what he did by the power of the Spirit. He did it by the Spirit of God in him, like a man like us, but by the power of the Spirit. John chapter 4 is a wonderful example of Christ's concern for just one person. And I got to looking into this a little bit. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus had 16 personal conversations with just individuals. And in the Gospel of John, there are 17 recorded conversations that he had with an individual, which illustrates to us that Jesus cares about every individual. We think about, you know, the masses, and certainly we are concerned about the, you know, great numbers of people that are lost, but Jesus is concerned about every individual. He knows their needs. He knows their hearts. And we should follow in his example and be concerned about everybody, no matter what condition they're in, what their heart or their needs might be. This is John's Gospel, chapter 4. This is the story of Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. John chapter 4 and verse 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Praise God. In this account, there's this wonderful example that Jesus has laid out for you and I to follow in his steps, to do like he did. It first says that he was traveling from Judea to Galilee, and the fastest route would be right through Samaria. But that was not the normal route for the Jews, because they had issues with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were a mixed breed, and the Jews were concerned about purity in the Jewish line. And so they would not have anything to do. They had no dealings with the Samaritans. They had a hatred and a prejudice against them. And so they would take other routes, other ways. They would go the long way around. If they were going from Jerusalem to Galilee, they took the long way around because they didn't want to have to encounter a Samaritan. But Jesus went straight through Samaria. Straight through Samaria, because he had a divine appointment. He was interested in one individual. And that's the thing that's on my mind and on my heart here tonight, and that is the fact that there are single individuals, just one person, that you could have an impact upon their life. You could make contact with them, and you can see their life turned around. Amen. We mentioned this the other service, that in Luke 15, there was the one lost sheep, there was the one lost coin, and there was the one lost son, and that the priority was placed on the one. And so there may be that one that the Lord has put on your heart, that one person that the Lord has put on your heart. And if so, or if not, then you need to ask the Lord, Lord, lay some soul on my heart. Put someone on my heart. And then if you do have someone that's on your heart, recognize just how valuable that they are to God, and that their soul is to the Lord, and make an investment in them, just like Jesus did, who went right through the area that every other Jew would have avoided, because he knew that he had this encounter with this one person, this one soul. It says, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And so he's concerned about one soul, and he did it with an urgency. There was an urgency about that one. I must needs go through Samaria. Amen. Even though there was no doubt it was inconvenient, certainly the possibility of criticism for a band of Jews like Jesus and his disciples to travel through Samaria, but Jesus had a sense of urgency. I must needs go through Samaria. And that is the same urgency that we should have about that one person that the Lord puts upon our heart. Lord, help me to reach that one person. It's not that we're not concerned about many people, but if the Lord puts that one soul on your heart, on your mind, then move with urgency, to pray with urgency reach out to them with an urgency, amen, and a compassion and a concern for them, just like Jesus did. The disciples didn't understand why that he wasn't interested in the lunch, the food that he brought them. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. This is my focus. This is the urgent thing on my heart. I'm concerned about this one person. And as the Lord puts that person on your heart, whoever they might be, it could be a family member, it could be a neighbor, it could be anybody, that the Lord brings you into contact with them. But as I've said many, many times, no such thing as coincidences in the life of a Christian. No such thing. God arranges our meetings with people, our encounters with people. And if the Lord puts some person, whoever they are, whatever their life has been, whatever their past has been, whatever the entanglements of sin have been, if there's this burden of urgency that the Lord puts on your heart, then pursue it and pursue them. Amen. In whatever ways that you possibly can. Amen. He saw this woman, and really, whenever he asked of her, woman, get me a drink, it's to us in our culture, that sounds kind of like someone being a little bit rude. You know, bring me a drink. Bring me a drink. It would be a little bit rude, maybe, in our culture, but no, for a Jew to ask of a Samaritan to bring me a drink. I mean, he's breaking down all the barriers. And all the barriers that are here are, I mean, for one, she's a woman. That's one barrier, that a Jew would not speak to a woman like that. And then not only was she a woman, but she was a woman with a really bad reputation. And then she was a Samaritan. And so there was the racial barrier that was there. And then there was the religious barrier, because the Samaritans had their own version of Judaism, and so there was all these barriers to keep them from reaching out to her. But for him to say, "Woman, would you give me a drink?" That was destroying all the barriers, tearing them all down, and reaching out to this woman and saying, would you give me a drink? There's something that I'm asking of you to give to me. And his engaging in conversation with her was just breaking down all the barriers. And that's really you see, when you serve the Lord a long time, it's easy to build up a lot of barriers to people. Because people in the world, as already has been mentioned tonight, people in the world are, you know, they're following after the ways of the world. They're living after the flesh. They're living their lives in ways that are not pleasing to the Lord. The longer you serve the Lord and you're a Christian, then there's this barrier between us and the world. And that's just a normal thing that happens, because certainly we are to be separate from the world. But God never intended for us to isolate ourselves from the world to the point that we are not able to care about them and to love them and to reach out to them. And even the wickedest and the most vile of person, Jesus is giving us this example. All the barriers that are going to hinder you from being able to reach out to that person, no matter how wicked and awful that they might be, all the barriers need to be brought down. Amen. Through compassion and through a love to see them come to know the Lord. Tear down the barriers. Amen. Paul said, to the weak, I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, he wasn't saying I'm becoming like sinners or like the world to reach them. He was just saying, I am willing to have contact with them. I am willing to reach out to them and to love them and to break down the barriers so that I can reach them. Jesus was often misunderstood and even accused. You know, he sits at meat with sinners. He associates with sinners. He wasn't there to become like them or to associate with them because he wanted to follow after their sin. No, he was there to break through the barriers. He was there to break down the walls and to break through. And let me tell you, love, real love for the lost can tear down the barriers. It can destroy the barriers and cause us to be able to reach out to the vilest of sinner. Amen. Amen. I know a lot of times it's not a comfortable thing if you're a Christian to be around people that are in the depths of sin and the depths of wickedness, but we're called to do that. We are called to do that. We are called to care and to love and to reach out to them and to minister to them and to tear the barriers down so that the gospel can penetrate their heart and their life. We're called of God, and Jesus has given to us this example. Amen. This was not just, you know, just some ordinary woman. This was a woman with all kinds of issues. Amen. I mean, she had, you know, Jesus said, Go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you're right. You don't have a husband because you've had five in the past. And now you're with someone that's not your husband. You talk about a person with a lot of baggage. Where does someone like that fit into the church? Where does someone like that fit into the kingdom of God? Well, let me tell you, they fit if they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. They fit. It doesn't matter how awful or how wicked or what their past has been or all the entanglements of sin in the world that they've been in. They have a place in the kingdom of God. They can be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the Lord can turn them from a sinner to a saint. Amen. That's what Jesus can do. And this woman certainly had a lot of baggage and a lot of problems, but Jesus took advantage of an opportunity. And this was like ordinary circumstances to be at a well, to get a drink of water. She comes in the middle of the day, which was not ordinary. She comes because she is not only an outcast, she's even an outcast among her own people. She can't come to the well when the normal time, when the women would come to draw water at the well. I mean, she's an outcast. She is probably, in all of Samaria, probably the most least likely candidate. And that's the kind of people that Jesus is reaching for. The one is the furthest away in the depths of their sin. And Jesus took the ordinary circumstance to have an encounter with this woman. Again, he's given us this example. God works in our ordinary connections throughout our days and our weeks. Those people that you have ordinary connections with. In places of business or wherever that you might have chance meetings with people. And again, they are not chance meetings. They are divinely arranged opportunities that God gives to us to reach out to people. And so he took the ordinary circumstance of just gathering at a well to get a drink of water, and he used that as a doorway, as an opportunity to have a conversation about her spiritual needs. Amen. You can take an ordinary conversation and turn it into a spiritual conversation. You can. You can do that. You can take whatever that it might be. I mean, the kids might be out in the yard playing, and you have something in common with them. You can talk to them about their children, about how much that you love their children, or how much a parent loves their child. And you can turn that into how much that God loves each one of us, that we're his children and that he is our heavenly Father and he loves you. Every circumstance, every ordinary encounter can be turned into an opportunity and a doorway to talk to people about the Lord. Amen. So I've already said she has all these barriers. She's a woman. She's a woman with a bad reputation. She has the race barrier and religious barrier and all these things that seems like, how could you ever reach someone like this? The most wonderful thing about this story is the fact, now I didn't read this part of it in the text, but this woman left Jesus, left that encounter with Jesus, and goes back to her own people and tells them about her encounter with Jesus. She becomes an evangelist because the whole city of Sychar, they all go out to see this man. Amen. You see, when the Lord saves the most vile and wicked, he can use that to reach many. Amen. This woman becomes an evangelist and is mightily used of the Lord to bring the whole city of Sychar out to see, who is this man that told me everything I ever did? Who is this man? And she introduces them, this vile and wicked woman who has now met Jesus and got a drink at the well and her thirst quenched that could never be thirst by the water from that well. Now she has had this wonderful encounter with Jesus, the Son of God, and she runs back to her people and she testifies, amen. That one individual that the Lord lays on your heart, that person has their own area and their own sphere of connections and of people and of family and of loved ones and neighbors and connections. And they then are able to influence others to come to the Lord. Never minimize what God can do in the life of the person that is so far away from God. It's not that many years ago that Paul Baker, that I saw him, he was skin and bones. He was terribly messed up on drugs. And what's he doing now? He's trying to help other people that have been in the same mess that he has been in. And that's exactly what God can do. So whenever, you know, what we sometimes think, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just could have a bunch of wonderful, perfectly dressed, nice people walk in the door and just join the church? Wouldn't that be great? That's not the world we live in, folks. They're out there and they are messed up. And sin has done a work on them. And they have no hope except through your compassion and your burden and your willingness to reach out to that one person. Amen. So when you pray, Lord, lay some soul on my heart, make sure that you pray it sincerely. And it doesn't matter how they smell or how they look or how messed up they are. But Lord, if you lay some soul on my heart, then help me to care about them and to love them and to reach out to them to see their life turned around by the power of the gospel. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We're believing God to do that. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful example that you have given to us in your word. You lived it out. The example, Lord, of how that we should be willing, Lord, and we should move, Lord, with compassion and move with urgency, Lord, toward those that are in need. So, Lord, help us to be willing, Lord, to reach them with the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.